Well, we're in this sermon series through West Side Values, and as I've been saying the last several weeks, we try to go over these at least once every year and talk about the things that are most important to us as a church. And we had a conversation several years ago amongst some of our leaders and our staff, and we were just asking the question, hey, what makes West Side uniquely West Side? And what are the vision and the goals that we have for who we want to be as a church community? And these are some of the things that came out of that. I put a list up here of our values as a church community. I think it's that next slide that you've got there, Kenya, our values. The first one is we invest in authentic relationships. And we talked about that in the first week, the importance of these community groups and these opportunities we want to give you. For instance, the Newcomers Night, which is tonight. And if you haven't signed up yet, come and connect with me. I'd love to have you there. That's happening tonight. But all these gatherings and these things we are trying to put together because we want relationships to grow out of these things, even out of Sunday morning gatherings and all of this. Authentic relationships. It's so critical and important. Secondly, we have an atmosphere of faith and expectation. Hopefully that's something you experience every week in our times of worship, in the prayers that we pray over our congregation, and inviting you to submit your prayer request to us because we believe in the power of prayer, and we pray over those things every single week. We want that kind of an atmosphere to be in place every time we gather together. And then third, we're a generous church. Corbett just talked about that. Generosity is the adjective we want to mark us as a church. When people think of Westside Church and this community and Christians in general, we want them to think of people who are generous, not just with their resources, but with their time and with their words and with their actions. We are a generous church. We talked about that just last week. And then this week, I want to talk about investing in the next generation, yes, but investing in the next, investing in those people or group of peoples who are coming behind you. And I want to talk about this value, this theme this morning by opening up to tell you a story about a teacher that I had in junior high and high school, and her name was Miss Dove. And just to set it up, just to help you kind of understand where I was at in my life at that point in time. First of all, I was in seventh grade, which is, you know, it's just a rough year. It's a rough season of life, junior high is, and it was particularly challenging for me because I had just recently moved from Anchorage, Alaska, where I grew up, and I'd moved down to Everett, Washington. And I was struggling to kind of find myself. I was struggling at having left my relationships, my friends, as a boy growing up in Alaska and having to start all over again. I was struggling because I didn't really have a school or an environment like that where I could grow in relationships and find friends because my parents chose to homeschool me. And so one of the solutions that they came up with was, well, we'll send you to school. But I was petrified of going to school because I had been homeschooled for like 4 or 5 years. I was one of those kids. And I struggled socially a little bit at that point in time. And so I was very nervous. I was timid. I was afraid of maybe, you know, what this environment might be like. And so as I went into school, that was my frame of mind. I was a relatively confident kid. I was athletic, and I did pretty well in school as far as that went. But socially speaking, I was behind, and I was struggling. And so there were some things that I was challenged with. And so as I went into junior high, I remember the first day, I remember just standing in front of the classroom door and being afraid to walk in. And I just decided, okay, just walk in, find a seat, sit down, you know? And I remember, you know, walking in real quick, brusquely, finding a seat that was open and sitting down. And everybody was kind of like, who's this kid? Like, where did he come from? Why did that happen so fast? And I remember some kids were even chuckling. And the teacher walked in. This teacher was this lively, middle-aged woman who was redheaded, and she came in singing to the class, and she was just so full of energy and so full of life, and she immediately just caused me to kind of relax, you know, because she took so much of the attention from the room that nobody else had the time to pay attention to little old me and all of my anxieties. And she was so enthusiastic about teaching that she just drew me in right away. And that was an English class. And I at that point in time, I was not very interested, you know, and I think it was English lit or something like that. And we were reading all these classic literature books. And I'd never read before anything beyond like the Hardy Boys and, you know, something along those lines. But which was a series, for those of you who are too young to remember, that we used to read when, well, long, long time ago. Let's just say that. So, but she introduced me to the classics, these amazing literature, and I was enthusiastic about reading it because she was so enthusiastic about it. And she was also my drama teacher. And as my drama teacher, she taught me a great deal about just having confidence. And she recruited me very heavily for the drama, which I'd never done anything like that. And she always did Shakespeare plays, and she wanted me to play a role in Shakespeare, which meant I had to, you know, dress up in makeup and in fancy, crazy clothes, and I had to get up in front of people and talk. And that was something that I was just not used to, not something I was comfortable with. And she was the one that recruited me, in spite of myself, to go and to do that. And so that very first year in seventh grade, I played Henry V, which is crazy to me. And I could still recite those lines for you. You know, oh, God of battles, steal my soldiers' hearts and possess them not with fear. I have all these things memorized because of these lines that I was memorizing. And I used to be in class, and she would have the class, you know, read the lines together, and she would always look at me and speak up, and I would have to project my voice and learn how to speak in front of people. And she'd be in the back of the stadium the church actually, where we were on stage performing, and she would always be like, speak up, I can hear you back here, and I would have to project, and she was so inspiring in helping me get out of my shell and learn that I had something to offer the world. And over the course of those 4 years, I was in a drama every single year. And she gave me all these leading roles, you know, roles that I never felt like I deserved, but she really saw something in me, and she believed in me. And it was such a critical point in time for me. And I really look back and I see Miss Dove as a person who helped me find my confidence. She was a person who, in spite of how that little boy felt inside, she was a person who said, hey, you're something special, and I want to show you that, and I want to help you bring that into the world. And I just can't tell you how meaningful her role in my life as a teacher was for me. And actually, I'm trying to look her up and find her, because she taught up in a school in Marysville for many, many years, and I think recently just retired. And so I've been trying to track her down and find her, because I've been meaning to have a meeting with her and to tell her how big of a difference she has made in my life, because I have so much gratitude for who she was and just the impact that she made in my life. But here's the point of this. I believe, and I believe this with all of my heart, that every single one of you, every single one of us in this room, has that same kind of potential to reach out and to touch somebody's life and to inspire someone in that kind of way, to leverage who you are for the benefit of somebody who's coming behind you, for the benefit of somebody who could really use you in their life. Use your words of encouragement. Use your specific story for wisdom and guidance. Somebody who really needs to hear something that you might have to offer them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a teacher role. It doesn't have to be, you know, a person up on the stage like what I'm doing this morning. It's just who you are that you have to offer somebody in this world, somebody who's coming behind you. And what I want you to catch a vision for this morning is that incredible opportunity that God has given you. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the opportunity. I want you to recognize the unique investment that you can make in somebody's life and how you could change somebody's life just through being willing and just through recognizing the incredible opportunity. I would go even beyond opportunity and say the responsibility that you have to leverage who you are for somebody who might be coming up behind you. And so as I'm saying this, I'm sure that for some of us, there's this reluctance, there's this hesitation, and you're starting to build a defense already and saying, well, what do I have to offer? You know, I'm just average. I don't have, you know, a lot of speaking skills. I don't have a lot of success stories. I'm not anything that anybody would draw value from. You know, I can't imagine how the long list of failures in my life is going to inspire anybody to become somebody great. And I want you to recognize that might be true about you. But in spite of that, in fact, because of that, I believe that is what you have to offer. Your experience, your unique set of experiences and failures and successes, your perspective, the things that you've gone through, the people you've met, the places that you've lived, the choices that you've made, the choices that you haven't made, all of these things kind of collected together is this unique blend. And you are a unique person and a one-of-a-kind person whose perspective might be just what somebody needs in their life right now. And so my encouragement to you is don't disqualify yourself and don't think of yourself as inadequate in regards to how much you might have to offer a person who might have need of you in their life. Because I think oftentimes that's where we go. We look at our lives and we think, well, you know, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give? What do I have to teach somebody? What lessons have I learned that might be valuable for somebody else's life? And we kind of question these kinds of things. And I went through a list just of different things that people in this room may have experienced and different things that I think that many people might see as disqualifying them from being a good source of wisdom for somebody else. I think a lot of times, you know, we start thinking these kinds of thoughts. Well, you know, nobody could learn from me because look at my marriage. You know, or look at the fact that I've been married a few times. You know, I couldn't get it right the first time. I made all sorts of mistakes. And the last thing that I would want somebody to do is look at me and my life and how I've done things, because obviously I don't know how to do things right. But you are absolutely wrong. If you've had a rough marriage, you have learned more from what has gone wrong than you may learn from things going right. Not only that, but you've learned a great deal about the pain that a divorce puts upon you and the stress that it puts upon your life. And you have an opportunity to really relay that information to a person who might be going through a difficult experience or something that they maybe have freshly gone through. And you have the ability to encourage them and say, hey, there's life after that. There's life after divorce and some of these things that you might be going through. And some of you have experienced that in marriage. Some of you have extraordinary leadership opportunities. You've had leadership opportunities in the past, some that you've handled well, some that you haven't handled so well. But God has given you a gift that people would follow you. And it's probably something that you see as intuitive. And so it's not even something you recognize. But when you talk to somebody else who is in the beginning stages of leadership, and you begin to recognize, wow, they don't really know a whole lot about this. There's a lot I can impart to them, right? You start to recognize very quickly how much you've learned through your experiences. Money. Some of you have made a great deal of money in this room. You've learned how to manage it. Some of you have learned how to not manage money very well. And you've recognized the need for growth in that area in your life. And you've learned a great deal of lessons. And these are the kinds of things that you might be able to impart to a person who might be experiencing growth in their finances in this season of life. And some of you who are 40, 50 plus, you know, you look at your life and you think, well, you know, I don't really know how to manage money all that well. But then you start talking to a 20 or 30 year old and you realize, well, I'm an expert in this field. And you start to recognize how much you've learned along the way, because you can look back when you were 20 or 30 and see all the mistakes that you made as a result of inexperience. And how about conflict? You know, all of us, at some point or another, we have gone through conflict. We've dealt with conflict in our life. Conflict with people at work. Conflict with our families. Conflict with our in-laws. Conflict with our parents. Conflict with our siblings. Conflict with the law. conflict with the IRS. We've gone through all sorts of different stressors in relationships, and you'd be surprised the lessons that you've learned and how valuable they can be to a person who might be going through something very similar. And again, your unique perspective and the unique things that you've gone through may just be the exact wisdom that somebody needs right now in this moment of their life. Don't disqualify yourself because you've struggled in relationships in the past. That might be the very thing that God wants to use in the life of another person. Spiritual background. Some of you, you've been raised in Christianity. You blew out of the church, and then you came back later. And you've recognized in that process of time just how important the church community was for you, and you've missed out on it. And that's a unique perspective from somebody else who may not have that experience. Some of you, I know, you came to Christ very late in life, and you have this freshness about you. You have this way of seeing things. It's a totally different perspective from somebody like me who's been raised in it. And I want you to speak into the lives of my kids because they've been raised in it. And sometimes I think they take it for granted. Sometimes I think I take it for granted. And it's such a fresh perspective from somebody who may be experiencing things for the first time. And it's a beautiful thing to be in a church community where we have all different types of people with different backgrounds because we learn from one another in that process. Some of you, you've wrestled with your faith. You've really had to work through a lot of doubts and skepticism that you have had along the way. You're an analytical person. You see things from that perspective. And so sometimes it's hard when a pastor like me gets up and says, accept it by faith, you know, come to Christ in faith. And you're like, but I've got to analyze it. You know, I've got to work it through in my mind. And you know who you are. And you have a unique story to tell. Because when somebody like me is presenting the gospel to another person, you know, they're like, well, it's easy for you. You were raised by a pastor and you married into a family of pastors. And, you know, you guys have had it, you know, that way from the beginning. You know, faith was a part of your life from the beginning. It's hard to take that leap when you don't have that background. And you have a unique story to tell. You have a unique perspective that might just be what somebody else needs to hear. Some of you, your deepest regret is that your kids haven't turned out the way that you would have hoped. Maybe they've turned away from the faith that you've brought them up in. Maybe they've turned away from their faith altogether. And you know the pain of a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. And some of you, you've even lost kids. And you know the pain of that experience in such a unique and a deep way. And those are your stories to tell. And I think that a lot of times when we think about these things that we've lost, these failures that we've had, these struggles, there's something in us that wants to bury those things or wants to hide those things away from people because we think that it's going to reflect poorly upon us. But one of the main points I want to present to you this morning is it's what makes you a treasure. It's what gives you incredible value to the people around you. You are a treasure because of the unique set of circumstances and situations that you've experienced. Yes, because of your failures, because of the hardships that you've gone through, because of the losses that you have experienced, you are a treasure and you have something to offer the world. And so don't be embarrassed about it. You know, fight that compulsion to kind of hide it away or to push it in the background like a skeleton in the closet. And here's another thing I want to say, because much of this has to do with imparting wisdom to a generation that is coming behind you. And let me tell you something about this generation, and I know because I'm raising four of them in my own household, and I've come to understand that this generation is obsessed with authenticity. And they can smell somebody who is not genuine. They know it. They could see it coming. They know if you are just trying to, you know, paint a picture that is perfect. And they know that's not reality. They know what it's like to be a person who's real and to be a person who's fake. They could tell the difference. They could smell the counterfeit. And so being yourself being that unique blend of failure and success, loss and gain, all of it put together, being your unique self is the treasure that you have to offer the world. Your whole story, not just part of it. So don't think that you're disqualified because you've been through some difficult things. You might have some hardship in your past, but that is the very thing that God wants to use to speak into the life of somebody who's coming behind you. And so if you're a treasure, here's the question. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with all these past mistakes, these lessons learned, the pain, the hardship, the school of hard knocks? What are you going to do with it? And the temptation is to bury it. The temptation is don't let anybody see it. Move on from this. But here's the problem. When you're dead and gone, it gets buried with you. And nobody profits from it. And it's a treasure. It really is. And that's the unique opportunity that I don't want you to miss. I did a funeral service this week, and here's what I found at almost every funeral service that I've ever been to. Rarely does anybody get up and talk about the person in terms of, well, the money they made and their incredible career or how they traveled the world and all these kinds of incredible experiences. What you always hear about, you always hear about how that person impacted the person who is speaking. You always hear about the love that they demonstrated towards others. You hear about the sacrifices that they made for their family and the many lessons that they taught along the way. Those are the things that commonly come up in a memorial at the end of a person's life. And so, you know, here's a statement that I put down and something I want you to reflect on in light of that. And that is this. The sum total of the value of a person's life is not measured by what they have, rather what they can give. And actually, this is the phrase I used. This is the phrase I used last week when we talked about generosity, about the value of a person's life. It's not measured by what they can give or what they have, rather what they can give. And so that was speaking of generosity. And this week, the next slide is this. This is what I want us to think about. The value of a person's life is determined by what they gave away. And again, anytime you're at a memorial, anytime you're at a funeral service, it's all about what that person imparted to others, what they gave. That's what makes the deepest impact in the lives of other people. And so that's the legacy. And that's the opportunity that I don't want us to miss by recognizing that you can leverage who you are, the treasure that you are, for those who are coming behind you in a way that can make a very big impact on their life. And even if you're not a Christian, I think you will recognize the importance of this. Even if you're not a person of faith, you recognize, okay, there's meaning in this. This is how you live a life of legacy. There's purpose in this. But if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to recognize the ultimate goal in all of our lives is to live our lives as Jesus did. And how did Jesus live his life? He lived his life for the sake of others. He was constantly mentoring others. Look at Jesus and his 12 disciples that he poured himself into each and every day. We are followers of a man who poured out his life for the sake of the world. He gave everything and he leveraged it all for the sake of those coming behind him. And in Jesus' teachings, we find this principle over and over and over again. Jesus taught we are accountable to God for how we lived our lives and what we invested for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of others. And I realize that when we think about Judgment Day, when we think about the end of our life and accountability to God, it's a freaky thing. You know, always growing up for me, you know, picturing that moment, you know, where Jesus would say, you know, how did you live your life or however it's going to go down? You know, I was always petrified of that thought. But it's something that scriptures teach all the time, that we are to give an account of our lives. And one of the most powerful parables that Jesus tells about this is in Matthew 25. And this is our main text this morning. It's quite a long passage of scripture, so I'll read it for you. It's a very interesting story, a very interesting parable that Jesus is trying to draw out of. And so he says, again, speaking of the kingdom of God, he's just told a parable about the 10 virgins, which is a complicated parable. We'll talk about that another time. But he says, again, this is what the kingdom of God is like, is the context there. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, which, by the way, is quite a lot of money. Sounds like a lot of money, but back then it was quite a lot of money. To another, 2 bags of gold, which is a very healthy amount of money. And to another, well, 1 bag of gold, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And the man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed." Notice the long excuse here. "So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And his master replied, You wicked. That's a new word. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus told the story, he told the story with all the dramatics. But a couple of things I want to draw from this particular passage of Scripture. The first one is simply this. The man who was given 5 bags of gold was an extraordinary amount of money. And what I want you to see is, first of all, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the inference here is after a lifetime. You know, so it's a life that has been lived, and they're giving account for how they lived that life, is the essence of what Jesus is saying. Now see, the man who has 5 bags of gold, he's got quite a lot of money. He's got quite a lot of opportunity, I guess you might say, or maybe was given a great deal of things in his life and benefited a great deal from this. And he is so excited when the master returns. And you'll see this in this next slide. There's a phrase that he uses to talk about what he's done. And he says to his master, he says, "You've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. He says, "See, I have gained 5 more. And there's this sense of excitement, right? Hey, look at what I've done. Look at how things have turned out. Look at what you've given me and what came out of it. It's this beautiful, wonderful thing. Look what I've done with these opportunities that I've received in my life." And then the master responds to him and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things." To which the reader, especially coming from the perspective of a person who only had 1 bag of gold, would be like, "A few things? You had 5 bags of gold. But it's an interesting thing that from the perspective of the kingdom of God, What is wealth? It's something that I think a lot of times we throw around. It's unfair. You know, this person has this. This person has that. They've grew up this way, and I grew up that way. And it's unfair. But in the kingdom of God, you know, in comparison with the riches of God's kingdom, everything that we have been given is just a few things, right? And it puts things into perspective a little bit for this guy. And so the master says, "Hey, you've been faithful to a few things. You know, well done. And come and share in my happiness." And the same thing happens with the man who had two bags of gold. It's a similar story, you know. He invests them, and he gets two bags more. And well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful to a few things, right? That same phrase is thrown out there for both men. And the problem of this parable is that we oftentimes, and I think that, you know, it's kind of the 99%, feel like we are that person with one bag of gold. And the feeling is that we're ordinary, that we're average, that we're the people who are one baggers. You know, we just don't have that much to offer, is the temptation for us to think. And again, going back to what I was saying before, you know, we point to our failures, or we point to all of our skeletons, or we point to the fact that we just didn't really have much to start with. And most of us feel like we're not that big of a deal. And it's tempting to think that we could just bury that in the ground, because what value is that to the world? But Jesus rebukes this man with one bag of gold, and he says, "You were just lazy. You were just lazy. You had an opportunity, but you squandered it. You wasted it because you were afraid, because you wanted to keep it hidden, because you didn't recognize the true treasure that you had." And it's not a parable. I don't believe this is a parable about heaven and hell. I believe it's a parable about regret. It's a parable that at the end of a person's life, they're regretting the fact that they didn't make the impact that they could have made. And perhaps it's because they just didn't have the confidence, or they weren't able to recognize what it was that they uniquely had to offer the world. And so, you know, the question I think all of us need to contemplate this morning is, what are you going to do with your treasure? And do you see your life as a treasure? Do you recognize the full scope of all the good and all the bad, and how it weaves together to present this unique person that God wants to use to speak in the life of another person? And so I want to challenge you this morning with this. I want to challenge you to really leverage who you are for those who are coming up behind you. And it would be a missed opportunity if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond in some practical way. And so I do want to talk about how you might engage in that here in our church community. I think it goes far beyond just this church community. I think it goes into the various places in your life, whether it's at work or in your family, your neighborhood, or just the acquaintances and the people that you meet along the journey of life. I think so much here that speaks to that. But I do want to give you something practical to grab hold of. And so, you know, we call this value, we say it's invest in the next. But we say invest in the next generation, because invest in what's coming next, the people who are coming next, and that is the young people. And so we put a great deal of emphasis upon our children's ministry and our focus on really imparting the faith that we have as a community to this generation that's coming up behind. And so we do a great deal of work. We have a lot of volunteers that really pour into the lives of those kids. And to illustrate this, I wanted to have Aaron come, if you would. And Aaron's going to just share with you a story of one such volunteer. And actually, do we have a mic? I think, yeah, that mic should work for you, Aaron. And she's going to share a story just of how this has worked out for one person. And, you know, here's the interesting thing is that Aaron has a story very similar to this in your own life. Actually, I was thinking when you first came to Westside, and you know, it was hard for you to even get up on stage, right? It's something, I remember the story, you're waiting in your car to figure out how you could muster the courage to get up in front of those kids and to see how far you've come now and how you've grown just because you were willing to invest and say yes to this opportunity to teach has been a really cool thing. And so we're really blessed to have Aaron imparting these things to our kids. And it's so cool to see that you guys now have little Georgia, and I can't wait to see what happens with her life as you guys pour into her. But anyways, go ahead and just share with us what you were going to share.
Yeah. I was thinking this week about who I wanted to kind of highlight, and I was actually inspired by last Sunday. I had called Del Irwin down to just help randomly. And Del is not someone who is like committed to serving like this week out of every month. But he is someone who said like, hey, if you need help on a Sunday, give me a call. I'll be there. So he was someone that I just kind of threw into a small group and was like, you can handle it. Have fun. And he did. I remember we were doing the same activity, but in different small groups. And I was working with my small group just like, okay, we're going to make a structure out of grapes, and it's going to look like the cross, and it's going to have this big meaning for everybody. And it wasn't the most successful activity with my kids, at least. They, you know, grapes, fruit, food, just got all over the place. But I turned and looked over at Del, and he was laughing, and all of his kids were having a great time just like making all these cool, intricate structures out of their grapes. And they were like, you know, not just the cross, but like building a whole church out of grapes. And I was just like, oh my goodness, they're just having way more fun. And it was just a great opportunity to see how he had, you know, taken his time with these kids and really maximized it and really decided to pour even more than the activity that I had set out. Just show them that what we're doing is enjoyable and fun, and learning to grow your faith in a fun way can be done. But he was just such a blessing to those kids. And so I really appreciated him for that, and we could use more of that, I guess.
Thanks, Del. Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I, you know, and for those of you who don't know, you know, one of the ways that we've really designed our children's ministry is it's almost kind of like a Montessori program where the kids who graduate out of it go back down and work down there. And, you know, another thing that Aaron's doing, you know, as a way of investing in the next is my girls, who are both in high school, work down in the children's ministry almost every week. And, you know, Aaron's been teaching them. Addie actually teaches one of the main lessons for the kids. She grew up through that program and now is kind of feeding back into it. And again, you know, even as a teenager, she has something to offer somebody. In fact, her voice, her unique experience is something that I think even a lot of kids who are very young look up to her even more so than they would an adult who maybe is out of touch, you know? And it's so cool to see those kids work together. But, you know, Aaron's developed such a great program of the kids that graduate feeding back into the kids who are younger, and they really enjoy it. They love it. But I wanted to ask you, Aaron, you know, if somebody here today is hearing this and saying, okay, this is a great way for me to start. I want to do something to invest in the next generation. How could they get involved with, you know, what you're doing on Sunday mornings?
Well,
or beyond.
Right. One thing you can do is reach out to me to let me know how you would like to get involved. And so if you still have your connection card with you, that would be a great way to just leave a note there saying, hey, I'm interested. And we will definitely be looking closely at those for sure. But yeah, if you are feeling any kind of stirring in your heart, I for sure want to know about it and get you connected with our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. Yeah. And don't forget, if you do fill out a card, it's really great if you let us know. And you might say, hey, I was really moved. I want to be a part of what's going on. But if you don't put your name on the front, we can't really get in touch with you. So put your name on the front and some way for us to contact you, because that's happened in the past. You know, somebody will say, hey, that was great. I want to respond. And then there's no name. And so it's like, well, let's hope the Holy Spirit moves. But anyways, one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this is, It's been something as I've analyzed this, you know, something as I look back on my life and recognize there's so many people that at strategic points in my life, they gave me a chance or they helped me recognize something about myself that I didn't see. They gave me an opportunity, or they just shared a story and they were a source of wisdom for me during a very, very difficult time. And, you know, I can't tell you how much that I've benefited as a result of that. And I would bet that for those of you who are here in this room, you could look back and you could probably count many, many different people who were there for you at a specific season of your life. And they were like an angel. They were a godsend. They were somebody who really helped take you from where you are to the next level, or helped take you, you know, from a place where you were really struggling to a place where you understood things in a much better way. And so you can be that for somebody else, is the vision. And God really wants you to be that for somebody else. I don't think it's optional. I think he really does see it the way that we looked at this parable, that you have something to offer the world. And the real challenge for many of you might just be recognizing that, hey, a bag of gold is a bag of gold. It might not be, you know, 5 bags of gold, but in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you invest it and that you use it for what it is, a treasure in God's kingdom that he wants to use to multiply to people around you. And so I pray that as we think about this value that we have as a church, that we could be a community of people that truly invest what we have in one another and in those who are coming up behind us. Because if we want our faith to grow, I think so oftentimes it grows because we learn more from the process of teaching somebody than oftentimes we learn from just life experience. You know, sometimes just turning around and helping articulate who you are and what you've been through to somebody teaches you the lesson once again, and maybe even a more powerful way. And so it's such an incredible opportunity and a responsibility that each and every one of us have. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the opportunity. And so as we talk about this value, invest in the next generation, invest in the next, I want you to pray, and I just want to ask and challenge each and every one of you this week, who has God placed in your life that you can impart some wisdom to? Who has God placed in your life that there's a lesson that you've learned that you can forward on to them? Who has God placed in your life that your unique set of circumstances, you know, the good and the bad, it could speak volumes to them? And I want to challenge you to really think about that and consider that and pray about that, and then find a way to be intentional about giving that a voice, about meeting with them, about taking the opportunity to really sit down and to talk with them about what's going on. I know for me, the people that have really been made the most impact were the ones that they jumped in right alongside me, even when I didn't ask for it. They came and they brought me some wisdom. They saw something that was going on and I didn't recognize it. I didn't even think maybe I needed it, but they were intentional and they jumped in and said, hey, let me talk to you about where you're headed. Let me talk to you about what you're going through. Let me talk to you about this lesson that I learned back along the way. And those are the kind of people that have made the greatest impact. We can be that. We can be that for somebody else. And so I just want to pray for you in it. And I want to ask that God would really send us out into our places of work, our neighborhoods, our families, as treasures, people who have something to offer to those around us, and that we would see ourselves that way. So Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this theme this morning. God, I know that you've laid it on our hearts as a church leadership that we would be a community that invests in what's coming next. And so, God, I pray that we would be mindful of how we are doing that. God, are we invested in the lives of people who are coming along behind us? Are we truly making the most of the opportunities, the responsibilities that we have to impart our faith, the lessons that we've learned, the good and the bad of our lives, to those around us who might need to hear it. And God, I pray that you would give us the ability to fight against that very natural reaction to want to hide it away because it's something we're ashamed about, or to feel cautious because it doesn't represent the best of what we might want to show to the world. But God, give us the courage to be able to speak out and to say, this is who I am. This is the authentic me. This is the genuine person. All of the good, all of the bad, God, everything in between. God, this is me. And God, I pray that we would trust that you want to use that. You can use that. God, so oftentimes it is the very thing that you use. God, our failures, our mistakes, our losses, our struggles, they could do more than we can ever imagine or think. God, because you redeem it and you make it into something beautiful. And so, God, I just ask that you would really challenge us. God, even now as we're praying, place people in our mind's eye. Place people in our hearts. And give us the courage to reach out to them this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close, I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come forward, if you would, and just be available to pray for anybody who might have need of it this morning. Take advantage of that. If there's anything that you're praying for or somebody that you want to be in prayer for, we would love to pray with you. So for everybody else, stand to your feet. We start a new sermon series next week, and it's going to be exciting, awesome, about Jesus, the radical Jesus.